Hello, my name is Ray Jefferson, and you're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU-FM. This program is a collaboration between KWBU and Creative Waco, where we sit down with leaders and innovators of arts and culture in our city. I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications at a nonprofit called Creative Waco. We grow and support the arts in Waco and McLennan County, primarily through strategy and funding for arts and culture in our region. On today's episode, you'll hear a recently added segment called David and Art with David Smith. We'll also chat with Sophia Strother, who is coordinating the annual Juneteenth weekend extravaganza later this June. She'll be sharing some new aspects to this year's festival. To get started, Fiona Bond is here with us to talk about how the arts are being used to bring new experiences to children in our community. Fiona, thank you for being here today.
Hi, Ray. How are things?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So today we'll be sort of expanding on the chat that we had during our last episode, which covered creative summer camps in our community and just different ways that kids could get plugged into those sorts of activities over the summertime. But today we're really going to be focusing on programming and projects that bring creative opportunities that some people may not expect to see in our community.
Absolutely. And I would still want to plug the creative summer camps, because I know that a couple of them still have places. So if you are wondering what on earth to do with your kids this summer, or if you have very creative kids and are just looking for the perfect opportunity for them, I would still encourage people to go and check out the summer camp calendar on the Creative Waco website, creativewaco.org/summercamps. I was also wanting to draw people's attention to some of the things that our arts organizations are doing that really make a difference in terms of how young people have formative experiences that involve creativity and problem-solving skills. So just last week, we had the privilege of inviting a group of people from Cincinnati to Waco to talk about a project which essentially trains high school kids in how to project manage by using murals as the show and tell. So they have an amazing program called Artworks, and that is a creative internship program for kids from age 14 through to 21, where these enormous, amazing, spectacular murals are created by the high schoolers being coached by professional artists.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Whenever you see the photos on their website, they have all these murals that are all across downtown Cincinnati, and they're complete works of art.
And there are hundreds of them now, and yeah. Some of them are seven stories high. And so Tamara Harkavy and Colleen Houston, who run the program in Cincinnati, came and talked to a whole group of people from the business community, the arts community, anyone really, and our education community, anyone who is interested in carrying that program forward in Waco. And so we're really excited that we're actually going to be running a pilot of that program in Waco this summer. And so a group of high school students from Waco ISD will be learning how to project manage everything from concept to completion by painting a mural.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see this program come to life. My favorite thing is really that, you know, this on the surface, it kind of seems like a really simple process of, you know, just having a group of kids come together to paint a wall. But it's really so much more than that. So can you tell us a little bit more about some other organizations in the city that are doing that sort of work that's, you know, on the surface might look like it's just art, but it's actually, there's a lot more to it.
Absolutely. And, you know, these are often the hidden projects or the things that are less glamorous in terms of what gets reported, but are so valuable for really developing young people and professional artists too. One of the shout outs I want to give is to Cultural Arts of Waco, who do an amazing project with ARC of McLennan County that works with adults and kids with special needs and helps develop art programs and creativity-based programs for special needs students and young adults, which is, you know, often that is their way into earning a living.
Sure.
And they've done some incredible work, which has actually allowed some of those young adults to form their own businesses,
yeah,
which
awesome.
I find really fantastic. The Symphony, Waco Symphony, partners with a couple of our local schools to help them purchase musical instruments for their programs, and also helps them to learn what it takes to be a professional musician. And they do a lot of work too with the Youth Symphony that allows students who are studying music who are in the Youth Symphony program to then sometimes sit with the full symphony and experience what it's like to play a professional symphony concert. Civic Theatre just launched a program in schools where they are doing family outreach. And so they've reached out to a number of schools and are helping families to experience live theatre for the very first time. And then, of course, the Art Centre of Waco has their Art Expedition trailer, which is allowing students in schools to experience a full art exhibition, but in trailer form. They can literally take the whole exhibition to the schools that they're going to. So hundreds of kids in our community are getting to experience live art, these amazing arts experiences through these outreach programs, which are so valuable.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great. And then lastly, I love some of the things that we have going on, the dance that are here in the community. Would you mind talking about some of those programs?
Oh, absolutely. We have a wonderful program that is at the moment based in the Estella Maxi Housing Project with Shirley Langston heads it up. It's a dance-based program for young women from that housing project, which it's called Miriam's Army. And they, if you've ever had the chance to see them perform, they are just wonderful mm-hmm. performers.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love is that when Shirley shares the experiences of that group, she talks about how the young women, even though this isn't necessarily part of the training that they get, they start making different choices about their physical nature. So they start making different choices about eating, about empowerment of their bodies, all that kind of thing, because they're doing dance. And dance is such an empowering art form that these young women are really learning how to take control of their decisions, their choices, their destinies through that program.
That's so awesome. Fiona, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing us, you know, with these incredible programs with us that are really transforming the way that our students are living here. We'll be back with Conversations with Creative Waco after a new segment called David and Art with David Smith.
When I find myself driving around some other town in a rental car, my standard practice is to listen to the local public radio station. I find it to be a dependable source of news. Come to think of it, I never turn on the TV in my hotel room. A good barometer of the local art scene, and a way to hear some music I might not otherwise hear. Last year, I was in Pensacola, Florida, and one night I heard, for the first time, music by a composer named William Grant Still. Still was born in Woodville, Mississippi in 1895. He was remarkably musical, and while taking violin lessons, also taught himself clarinet, saxophone, oboe, viola, and cello. He attended Wilberforce University in Ohio, where he conducted the band and began writing music, even though he went there to study medicine. He relocated to New York City and got a gig playing oboe in the orchestra for the groundbreaking 1921 musical Shuffle Along. After touring, he returned to New York and worked as an arranger. His first symphony premiered in Rochester in 1931, the first performance of such a work by an African-American composer. He was also the first African-American to conduct a major orchestra, Los Angeles in 1936, and in 1949 became the first to have a work performed by the New York City Opera. Still wrote symphonies, ballets, opera, and even did a stint in Hollywood arranging music for films. In 1936, the CBS radio network commissioned him to write a piece which he based on a series of Harlem street scenes entitled Lenox Avenue. It later became one of his ballets. As I write this, I'm listening to his piece called The American Scene, which is made up of movements entitled The Southwest, The Far West, and The East. While the first two are evocative of Aaron Copland, and the third has an echo of Gershwin, it's a distinctive work by a singular composer. So because of getting to know Still and his music, I now include him in my U.S. history survey courses when we cover the Harlem Renaissance, that remarkable cultural flowering of poetry, painting, and music that came out of Harlem in the 1920s and 30s. Still knew writers like W.E.B. Du Bois and Alan Locke, but generally thought of himself as being on the periphery of that movement rather than being at its center. While not as famous as, say, Duke Ellington, he was an important artistic presence in those years, and knowing him lets you see the Harlem Renaissance as being even broader in scope. In his wonderful book, The Rest is Noise, Listening to the 20th Century, critic Alex Ross says that in New York in the 20s and 30s, Jewish, African-American, and even Caucasian composers were working shoulder to shoulder, trading ideas, borrowing themes, plundering the past, and feeding off the present. Listening to the music of William Still is to hear that synergy come to life as surely as one does in Gershwin or Ellington. When it comes to art, there's never a bad time to have a new door opened, because learning something new helps clarify everything else you already know.
This is Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM, and I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. I'm here with Sophia Strother, who is the incredible woman coordinating this year's Juneteenth celebration. This annual festival will run from Friday, June 15th to Sunday, June 17th, and is an important event for our community for many reasons, but I'll let Sophia tell us more about that shortly. Sophia, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. So to start things off, can you give us an explanation of what Juneteenth is?
So Juneteenth is actually a Texas born holiday. It is basically around the time, 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, that Texas slaves found out that they were actually free. And so as a way to commemorate that, every June 19th is technically Emancipation Day to recognize that piece of history.
Awesome. So why do you feel like it's important for our community to be able to celebrate this holiday?
I think it's important that we acknowledge it because it's something that's real that happened. And to continue to really bring a highlight to the attributes that African Americans have brought to America, thus our culture that we know today. So really, it's just a way to be able to reflect on how far we've come. Still some ways to go, but also acknowledge very much how important the African-American culture is to America.
Sure. How many years have we had this event here in Waco?
This event will be the seventh year. We started in 2011, and we took 1 year off on last year so that we can kind of travel around and see what other Juneteenth celebrations were across the country and be able to bring some more of that here to Waco.
What cities did you guys visit?
I went to New York. Okay. New York is one of the larger ones that they have as well. And then Austin actually has a parade that's really, I think it's the largest in the U.S. The parade that they do. San Antonio has a parade. And so we kind of traveled a little south just to see what they were doing.
Sure, that's awesome. What kinds of things did you guys see there that y'all wanted to replicate here?
What I really wanted to replicate and something that we have not been able to do in the past is true, authentic African sounds and performers. And so just wanted to really bring the genuine sounds of African-American culture to our stages. And that's something that we definitely did this year.
Sure. That's awesome. So what kinds of things can people expect to see this year?
Well, this year, for one, it's a weekend instead of one day. Historically, in the past, we started off in Heritage Square our first year, and it was primarily built to be a place where we could put family and health first. Those were our two main things that we wanted to do, all the while by having live entertainment, where we would bring in national acts, but also support local artists to have a platform for them to get in front of thousands of people right here in Waco, which is very rare, especially in the African-American community. So we started off in Heritage Square in 2011. We had 4,500 people attend that, and we knew very quickly that we couldn't stay there. We had some games for kids, but there's not a lot of space at Heritage Square. And then we had vendors there that had community resources, and then we had food. And so we then went to Brazos Park East in 2012, and that's where we've been ever since because it allots for us to have plenty of space. We now have a mega kid zone and some great things that we do there. We work with Texas Parks Parks and Wildlife. They do archery. They do angling. We have it to where there are several different things. We've even partnered with Lowe's where they do family projects that they can build right there together as a family. We have incorporated the art bus that comes down from Killeen. It's a huge school bus, gutted out. It has tables and different art stations that the children are able to do. We're actually this year getting with Central Texas Artists Alliance. They're going to be providing a Black and Bold art exhibit, which is the first time we'll even have art around African Americans there, that we'll be able to promote local artists at our Saturday event. So this is all just on Saturday, along with live entertainment from local artists, and we're bringing in some artists from Massachusetts and the Boston area. And then our huge featured act is Drew Hill, which they were huge news in the 90s, the R&B group most beloved, that's on Saturday. But through a partnership with Creative Waco, which is a local nonprofit that is passionate and determined to bring performing arts to the forefront and making the city of Waco very much known for that. They partnered with us, and we were able to get a grant that allowed us to expand Juneteenth weekend. Awesome. So now on Friday, we're actually going to have a Mr. and Mrs. Juneteenth scholarship pageant where Phi Beta Sigma, the Waco chapter, has graciously donated the scholarship monies that we're going to be providing. And then the Waco Hypnodrome provided the space for us to be able to do it. So in just that partnership alone, we're now going to be able to give out over $5,000 in scholarships and school supplies on Friday. And then on Saturday, we'll have the 3 to 10 o'clock where you can come. We'll have community resources there for people to become involved more civically, neighborhood associations. And then we have a health zone where we'll do a health fair. So we have various health vendors that'll be there on Saturday. A food and retail vendors from all over Texas will be there on Saturday. And then the other part of the expansion is Sunday, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be the Juneteenth Father's Day Gospel Blowout. And we really wanted to make a concerted effort to acknowledge Black men. Sure. We know the statistics that over 60% of Black homes are being raised by women, but it doesn't mean that the fathers are not involved. It just means that they're not in the home.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Black men that don't have biological children, but they're still just as much fathers and mentors. And so we really wanted to do something that could bring attention to Father's Day, that could bring attention to Black men in a positive light and celebrate them. And then also be it to where, you know, we all know everything gets pumped up around Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little lackluster when it comes down to Father's Day. But fathers are just as important to the family success and structure as mom is. And so this will allow us to honor men, honor fathers, have a ridiculous gospel event that Friday at 2 o'clock where we're bringing in Grammy winner Myron Butler that comes up from T.D. Jakes' ministry. And then we have several other local artists and some from the Austin area coming in, and that's a free event. So again, it's just going to be every day that weekend we can be constantly reminded of success. We can promote family, we can promote health, and being civically engaged.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff.
Yes, we're just excited that this event now has become a flagship for Waco.
Yeah,
it is the largest event in a 200-mile radius. We average about 4,500 to 6,000 people that attend. And so for us, it's something that African Americans can be proud of in the Waco area.
Yeah.
And I'm actually proud of how the city of Waco has come to support the event and really mark it as something that they pencil in on their calendar every year. They're expecting it and looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good to hear. I'm really excited because, you know, this is obviously the largest year that y'all are going to have, and y'all went big in every way.
Yeah.
With, you know, from the actual events, from the impact that you're having on the people that are involved, to, you know, the musical guests, things like that. So this is really exciting. And I also, you know, I feel you guys have really focused a lot on health, family, education, all of these things that, you know, typically within the African-American community are under threat or, you know, not supported, you know, as much as we would like. And so I'm really glad to see that you guys are doing that sort of important work here in Waco.
Yeah, it's important primarily because, as we know, if it's something that's adverse to the health, we tend to be number one, unfortunately. And due to, in proportion to our population, it's really sad because for us not to make up the larger percent of a population, but we're always on the top of anything that's adverse to health, is definitely something we wanted to make sure that whatever platform we did, put health first. And sure. That's why our motto is putting family and health first, because again, at the end of the day, you can't do some of the things that you're passionate about doing if your health is not there.
Yeah.
And so this is just another way that we have you come out for some family fun, but also get some tidbits that can help keep you around long enough to really enjoy your family
yeah.
and have a sustainable, healthy life.
Awesome. That's so good. So this weekend obviously features a lot of music and art in a number of different forms. Why do you guys feel that creative expression is important for the celebration of Black culture?
Well, the nonprofit that I run, Empowerment Driven by Knowledge Coalition, which is coordinating this, as an entity that believes that communication is key and getting out any message of awareness, whether it's celebrating of African-American culture and all the many accomplishments and attributes that we've brought into the American culture, people receive things in different ways. And being able to be mindful of that and using creativity to speak and tell that story is important. So like having a pageant allows for us to tell our story through dance and through acting and through spoken word and poetry, which again, I may not receive the spoken word, but I love the acting, and that's what makes me get it. That makes me appreciate it more. And even on Saturday where we're doing jazz and we're doing some blues and we're doing R&B, some people may not like those mediums of communication or music. They may be country. They may be gospel. One of the reasons that we move gospel to Sunday, to where that population that really can appreciate gospel music can still receive the same message about, again, the family and having the fun, but also being open to people doing different things. I mentioned before that we have a new group that we've added to our Sunday, which I'm completely ecstatic about. And they're called Kapira Marimba. And they actually will have their high energy with some really great instruments from Africa that they do. And this was something we were very passionate about having, so where you can get a piece of some genuine music.
Sure.
Because normally if you go on television, most times when you see anything having to do with Africa, you're seeing starving children, war, AIDS, and maybe a safari area with a bunch of animals running around.
Yeah.
Like that's the picture, yeah. unfortunately, that media depicts the majority of. But there's a lot of beauty in Africa,
yeah.
aside from the devastation you see on television, and music and dance, which is one of their most powerful mediums that I can attribute to them as well, is never really appreciated here. And so making sure that we had that component in the weekend was very, very important to us. So we're excited that we're going to have that group there on Sunday at the Father's Day Gospel Blowout. It's going to be phenomenal.
Awesome. That's so great. So this event, you know, is, which we've already kind of talked about this is really the largest and maybe even the only celebration of Black culture that we have publicly in Waco. So why do you feel like this event is so important for the African Americans that are living here in our community?
Because of what you just said. It is the largest event in this region area right now. And to be honest, prior to us launching, and I co-founded this with the former owner of a local radio station here, and I've just kind of carried the torch from then on. But prior to that, there was another Juneteenth event that was happening in Indian Spring Park, primarily sponsored by the African American Chamber. And they would maybe have a few hundred that would come through. And our concept was, you know, well, when they do Cinco de Mayo or when they do some of these other events like 4th of July, it's like, it's huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's like top notch.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, maybe we can partner and do it together, but why don't we make our weekend like something to really be proud of and something that people from all over come to us for,
yeah.
instead of us always looking to go to Dallas for their Juneteenth or Austin for their event. People want to come to us. And so we ended up, again, starting it in Heritage Square. And from then on, now our main demographics, we have individuals that, and we keep tab of our demographics that come in. We have people coming in from Houston and Dallas, Bryan College Station, Austin, that come to enjoy our event. And so that is something that we as African Americans and Wacoans, period, because
yeah.
it's not just African Americans that attend,
yeah.
but Wacoans, period, can be proud that now they can have a stamp on something that means a lot to our community, because we make up 15% of the community, which may not seem like a large percentage, But that's a lot of people that mm-hmm. can really be proud of something that is done here that's not done anywhere else in the immediate area.
Sure. And as you just mentioned, this, of course, is an event that is open to the entire community.
Oh, yes.
It's not just, you know, for Blacks or anything
no.
like that. So what sorts of things do you hope that people who aren't Black are able to get out of this experience?
Well, one of the reasons, and it's funny because the group that's coming on Sunday, Kapara Marimba, the first thing she said to me, she said, well, you know, we're majority white that plays these instruments. And I said, so?
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, what does that mean? She was like, well, I just don't want people to be thrown off. Well, okay, if they're thrown off, they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, even for us African Americans, unfortunately, but it's true, Blacks didn't free Blacks. Mm-hmm. So if we have to be realistic, we have to maintain that it took Blacks and whites to be able for Blacks to be where they are today. Mm-hmm. There have always been champions for us to be free. There's always been champions, even for now, the institutional racism that we're dealing with and a lot of the bigotry we see even now in our country. We're not standing alone.
Yeah.
And so in this event, it's a good thing that it capitalizes on, yes, our accomplishments and, yes, what we mean to the American culture. But at the end of the day, it's about all of us coming out and enjoying some great music, some great entertainment, culture, community resources, and health events. At the end of the day, we all need one another. That's like the end message that we get to. So it's definitely not something that's promoted as kind of like a Black pride, and it's just for the – that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Because literally in order for us to move forward, we all need each other.
Yeah.
So again, hopefully when they come, what they get out of it is some great food, some great retailers. They get to see some wonderful Black art. They get to see some wonderful or hear some wonderful music and meet some great people.
Awesome. I'm really excited about this event. I know it's going to be fantastic because it always is. And, you know, this year sounds even better. So, just to wrap things up, can you give us a place online where people can go to find out more information or find out locations, any of that sort of stuff?
Well, they can actually put in hashtag Juneteenth Waco, for one, if they wanted to go on social media, whether it was Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, on Friday, June 15th for the pageant, which will be at Waco Hypnodrome. We do have a Facebook page as well that you can put in Mr. and Miss Juneteenth Scholarship Pageant, and you can find our page there with more details and actually meet all of our contestants. On Saturday, which is June 16th, which is our major event, Juneteenth Family Fun Day, you can go to family-funday.com and get more information. Tickets are $15 per person and 12 and under free. We're bringing in the national act, Drew Hill, which was very popular in the 90s and early 2000s. And then on Sunday, June 17th, will be the Father's Day Gospel Blowout happening at Brazos Park East as well. And that information, you can go to their Facebook page as well or put in hashtag Juneteenth Waco, and that event also is free.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sophia, for being here and sharing this important celebration with us. Again, this event will be June 15th through 17th. That's the Juneteenth weekend extravaganza. I'll be sure to post all this information online so you guys are able to access full schedule of events and get a recap of the conversation. This conversation will be posted online at kwbu.org as well as on our website at creativewaco.org/blog. Catch the next episode of Conversations with Creative Waco on Friday, June 22nd at 11:30 a.m. and 8 p.m. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU FM. I'm your host, Ray Jefferson. Thanks for tuning in.